Colossians chapter 3. Hit that record button back there. Colossians chapter 3. All right. Colossians chapter 3 this morning. We're a new year and a new you. In the last week, a new year and a well-dressed you. We've got a new wardrobe. This week, a new year and a biblical you. A new year and a biblical you. By the way, I had no idea. I forget which one of the fitness people and the diet people was their theme. So I feel like we've got a lot of free advertising on TV for our sermon theme this year, if you watch any commercials and all. But anyway, I appreciate them doing that and helping our church out. A new year and a biblical you, biblical you. One last time, if you're willing and able, stand if you can, and let's pay honor to God and His Word. A new year and a biblical you. Just a couple of verses, Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether you mean to or not, you do it in His name. But you're to think about that. Whatever you do, however you work, whether it's drying dishes or changing a diaper, whether it's picking up the paper or taking out a sack of groceries, I get to do this under His banner and His name. I belong to Him. How am I to do this? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. A new year. And a biblical you, a new year, and a biblical you. Father, speak to every heart this morning. Help me as I preach. May I preach and communicate well. May I speak clearly, be understood. I pray I preach with power and authority. I pray we'd hear and receive the word. I pray it would speak to our hearts and it would change our lives. Lord, we need you this morning. Draw people to yourself. And I pray that you would get every bit of honor and glory for what's done this morning. I ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Be seated. A new year and a biblical you. A new year and a biblical you. I don't know about you, but I like the thought. I really do. I think maybe the Chinese and some Asian countries are on to something, you know, having the new year in the fall. It's hard to get real jazzed up when it's -3 outside about lots of things. Nod your head if you understand that. And if it's freezing and you're freezing and you're running a space heater and a fire, and you're setting your bills on fire trying to stay warm, and all those kind of things. And we're here. But I love this thought, and we've been focusing on it. We've been looking at Colossians. He says, because you've been resurrected to Christ, that's the new you. If you're a Christ follower this morning, you've repented of your sins, put your faith and trust in Him, you have a different life, and that life looks like this. And then he says, and your life is different because of how you treat sin. And some of you have chuckled a good bit, but you have these three attitudes now towards sin. You say, sin, I'm going to kill you when I see you. I'm not going to let it live at all. I want it dead, dead, dead. I want it to die. Then you're going to say, and I'm going to take care of you like you're just soiled clothes. Like it's all like I fell down in a sewer trench and I've got it all over my clothes. I'm not going to try and wash them. I'm going to throw them out. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to take them off. I had a friend of mine. He broke up with she broke up with her boyfriend, and I'm sorry, it was mutual. And that's what they always say. And they broke up, and she'd given him all this stuff, and I was her youth pastor, Andre, and I anyway, and so she sent a picture of a barrel in a fire, and I thought it was the craziest thing. Why do I care about a trash barrel? And she said, there goes the last of so-and-so's gifts. I don't know they ever got back together, but if they did, it was a bit of an awkward conversation, amen. If you burn all the stuff, it's hard to do that. Some of you are nodding your head in here. That's the way I treat sin. And then finally, I get real honest about sin. I quit saying it's my problem, it's my habit, it's my this, it's my that. I say this is sin, and I'm real honest. He says, lie not one to another. Then last week, we looked at this new wardrobe, and it was just, man, it's amazing what I get to do and who I get to be now because of what Christ has done. And today, he changes gears a little bit. And he focuses, instead of just on Christ, he focuses on you and your relationship to the Bible, your relationship to God's Word. So I've entitled it a biblical you. What is your relationship? How is your relationship to the Bible? I look back because I was looking for a quote. I love this passage. I personally feast on it every year, somewhere in December or January. And I have in the last 5 or 6 years, I have visited this passage wherever I've been preaching at least once. this verse rather, because I just love, and it's exactly what I need. Nod your head if you're with me here. I know that this has got to be an emphasis in my life. Wait for it. I realize that because it's an emphasis in Scripture, and I want to help you. Whatever you're doing, if you're on track, fine. If you're a little off track, if you're way off track, if you've never gotten on the track, this is what it's got to be. Why? Why is that? Why is that? Let me give you the quote here, and I'll come back to the verses here. Woodrow Kroll, and this is a quote I was looking for, he said in his great little book here, Taking Back the Good Book, he says, the great battle of today is not over biblical infallibility, not if the Bible's true or not. It's over biblical illiteracy. People don't know what's in the Bible, and then they don't apply what's in the Bible. They don't obey what's in the Bible. Nod your head if you agree with that statement. It's not we just don't believe it's true. We know some of this, or we don't know it's even in there. We don't know it's even in there. And we're biblically illiterate. Excuse me. So I want to help you. This is a parallel passage. It's a fascinating thing. This passage here is paralleled in the book of Ephesians. You don't have to turn there. You can just look on the screen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, or in his excess or dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit. Be being controlled by the Spirit of God. Be not speaking yourselves psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Excuse me, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to quote real fast there, sorry. If you look at it, if you hold them side by side, and this, you almost got a handout today because there's so much good stuff. If you look at them side by side, you see they're parallel. The difference is he talks about being controlled by the Spirit, and then this passage he talks about the Word of God. I believe they're the same idea, that the Spirit of God controls the believer as the believer is under the influence and the obedience of the Bible. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to help me act like the Son of God. Somebody says, what is Spirit, fullness, and Spirit, and all these kind of things? It is at the very least obeying God's Word. It's at the very least. I don't think you can be controlled by the Spirit of God. Wait for it. You can't be controlled by the Spirit of God if you're not listening to and taking in and regularly imbibing the Word of God. Can anybody say amen to that? You can't. There's just a disconnect there. You have people and they get all excited and they're saying all these things and get real emotional. And again, emotion's fine and excitement's fine. But it's I like what the old preacher said. It's not how high you jump or how loud you shout, but it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. And so we say these things. So we've got this parallel passage. So I want to break it down for you. I want to really help you and just give you some things and give you a little application here. I think it'll be a good for you. There's an invitation. He breaks it out in a few ways. If you're taking any notes here, just take these. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There's an invitation. There's an invitation. The word let or allow there simply means to allow the Word of God, allow the Word of God to be at home in our hearts, to be at home in our hearts. How many of you like being home? How many of you home is a good thought? How many of you home always sounds like work? Anybody home, just depends what time of the week or depends what's going on. Anybody going home sounds like work? I'm going to walk around. Some of you are already sleepy. Home sounds like work. Riley says it sounds like work. How many of you think Riley works a lot at our house? Anybody? I go home. How many of you, one of the first things you do when you go home is you take your shoes off? Anybody, you're a foot shoe taker offer? Anybody, if it's a guest comes in, you kind of look at them until they take their shoes off? Anybody like that? Anybody? Some of you are not going to raise your hands. I know some of you. I've been in your houses. You know, you don't have to, but we'd really appreciate it if you would either do this or put on these smocks over your shoes here, and you're like that. I was at a former student's house, and they'd gotten married, and they had me over, and it was a big deal, and they'd prepared this wonderful feast and all. And I walk in, and I notice the pile of shoes by the door, and I just call a pause for a minute, and she says, Mr. Hallman, I love you, but you can go no further. You have to take off your shoes. And the whole time I'm going, no holy socks, no holy socks, no holy socks, you know. And so, I just lip them off, and she's about that tall and about that thin, but I wasn't going to cross her. And grew up in the Philippines, and she's take your shoes off, okay. And no worries, no big deal here. We talk about making yourself at home here. That means something different to each one of us. For example, at our house, if you're really a guest and we're really welcome, we give you the remote control. If you have the wand of power, you are the highest ranking member of the house at that point. Everybody understand that, right? You can have refrigerator privileges, but if you get the remote, you're it. You're it. Because everybody's got to run it by you, right? If we're watching TV anyway. You know, you're there. You've got that. If we give you a key and the remote, I mean, you're in good shape. In fact, I'm going to be expecting a little help on the mortgage. Right? You know, this is it. You know, here it is kind of thing. If we know you're coming and we buy what you like to eat, you orange juice person. If we get orange juice, you want pulp or no pulp? No pulp. So we got no pulp, no sugar added, or you want to drink it and your pupils shrink. All right. No pulp and lots of sugar, all right? How many of you think he'd be fun after about three glasses of orange juice and anyway, look. And egg sausage or bacon? Crispy or soggy? Crispy. Scrambled eggs, runny eggs. Fried over medium. You want a toast and a little hole poked in it? All right. I can do this all day. I mean, I'm there. Amen. And by the way, I don't care what he said no to some things. I don't, you know, if it stops, I used to be, you know, as long as it's dead, I'll eat it. Now, if I'm faster than it is, you know, slower than it is. So good shape and all there. You need biscuits? You got to have gravy or you want butter? Marmalade, jam? No. Some of you in here going, I didn't eat breakfast. That preacher is killing me. If you've been to Sunday school, you'd have had breakfast. And here, if I know he's coming, we're inviting him over for breakfast, I can promise you, Andre's going to make sure we've got what he likes. Nod your head if you're with me here. I'm there. Roy, you eat steak? Steak? You want bone in, bone out? Doesn't matter. Bone out? Rather have bone out? Rather have ribeye or sirloin? Ribeye. If Doris is paying, you want filet mignon? All right. Bacon wrap, no bacon wrap? You want to work? Just keep on going, right? Keep on going. You got a certain way you like it cooked? Well done, all right? Well done, just real hot and no pink, right? Uh-huh. Pink, all right? Very good. Potato, put the things there. You a salad guy? You got to have a salad with a steak? Salad's good with a steak. Now you want pie or cake afterward? Cake, all right. So when Roy and Judy come over and bring the steaks, Andre, for us to cook, and, you know, how many of you get the impression here, if you're wanting somebody to be right at home and be welcome, this is what happens. Evan, I've eaten enough with you. Burger well done? No. No, I'm sorry, no junk on your burger. No junk on your burger? Man, I said that. Here we go. Pride, destruction. And pride and fall. And this is it. And if we want that, if we goop his up and all and give it to him, he'll do the best he can. Well, he knows us well enough. He probably, what's wrong with you people? And this is here we are. Here we are, right? We're doing this. You don't make somebody's coffee for them. You ask them what they want in their coffee. Everybody come in, be at home. Here you are. If I tell you, you can do whatever you want in my home. I'm really making you at home, aren't I? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and all with. That word dwell means to be at home. To be at home in my heart. To be at home in my heart. That this book here, it's teaching. Whether you're talking about the account of creation, whether you're talking about David and Goliath, whether you're talking about the judges and Saul, whether you're talking about the prophets, the major, the minor, the gospels, whether you're talking about the teaching of Paul or the exciting climax of all creation in the book of Revelation, this book is to be right at home in my heart. Be right at home. It should feel at ease. You ever been somewhere and it's been awkward? Nobody in this room, but I've been to people's houses and they stand like this in front of the door, and I'm desperate to try and get in because it's cold or raining or whatever. I got rained on pretty good the other day before Christmas, and I'm just standing there, and you know, and please let me in. And, you know, I'm old and I'm fat, please let me in, I'm cold. And they just stood there. They actually blocked their door. And I went, this is awkward. I don't think they want us here. I've been in all these years, been in people's houses. As soon as they walk in, they start apologizing. Anybody that bugs you, you go in somebody's house and it's a museum, I mean, it's never been dirty. It wasn't dirty when they built it. And they're apologizing for how cluttered their house is. And I'm going, I'm scared to sit down. This place, anybody besides me, you know, and you're like, you're just putting on, you know, your house is immaculate and your house is clean. Apologize for our 60-inch TV. The 70-inch was out, you know, and, you know, you know, 4K, you know, I'm looking at eyelash hair, you know, on their TV, you know, sorry. No, you're not sorry. And, you know, you're sitting there. It can be awkward. You ever been someplace and you felt like they didn't want you there? You were invited, but when you got there, everybody was like passive aggressive to you. Those are fun. I had to do a funeral for somebody some years back now, and before we came here, and I got asked, but the only person that asked me really wasn't connected too well with the family. And I got there and I'm doing the funeral, and nobody knows who I am, so I just figured nobody's talking to me. I figured I'd just go around and meet everybody. And your cousin who and so and so. By the end of things, everybody's kind of slapping me on the back and all. And then I get up there and preach. I'm like, oh, he was the preacher. And, I figured I'd make myself at home. Nobody else was going to make me feel at home. And I sure didn't know anybody. And I'd driven all that way. I might as well have a little fun with him. Nod your head if you think that you believe it or not, I did that. We've been in churches on vacation. Nobody'd speak to us. I got up and grabbed 3 or 4 bulletins. I just walked around and made myself like an usher. The ushers were ignoring us. Andre will tell you, we were down in South Carolina one time. The ushers were ignoring us. And I just went up and I just shook all the ushers' hands and said, I'm Rodney. I'm new here. And I just wanted to meet you. And we'll, you know, in my breath, I'm going, and I'll never be back because you're a bunch of unfriendly people. And and we're doing this. When he says be at home, we get it to not feel at home. He says, you want to experience this rich life I have for you? And this book here, it needs to be more than just a vacation room where you just come and go. We talked about the drive-through idea of church. You just come through and hope it changes your life in an hour a week. It needs to be at home. Needs to be home in our church. Needs to be home in our lives. We teach little kids the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible. I forget your video on this and driving you crazy walking around. And the Bible ought to be first place, center stage in our church. And by the way, it ought to be in our lives. You take this book and you set it in your car and it sits there from Sunday to Sunday. Let me help you. It's not at home. It ought to be first place. It ought to be first thing. Again, you work swift, swing shift or whatever. I think you ought to have time in the Word in the morning. And time in the Word. When I was doing, I'd usually take some time. I'd find the Scriptures, or if I was memorizing things, I'd write them on a 3x5 card, and I'd pull them out during my break. And all you second and third shifters, you apply this wherever. But we've got folks, man, on second and third shift, they're having their devotions at lunch at like 2 or 3 a.m. They're reading the Bible. It needs to be at home. You will never experience what God has for you until the Word of God is at home. It's the difference. Andrea gets these free magazines for some reason. She gets magazines, and they'll lay out for a couple of weeks, and she'll throw them away. We've never even cracked a cover. We got books, man, we have read a lot. We got photo albums we really enjoy. We got things we pour over and over. I just finished a couple of books that I read almost every year, and I've wore them. In fact, I got them audio this time so I could just do a different thing and maybe see if I could pick up something different. I've got them. I've got a set of Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis that I've read, Allison's read, Riley's read, and they've been wore through, and these books are 30-some years old, and they're there. There's a difference there. There's a difference when something is at home and something matters in our hearts and lives. Something matters. It's the difference in giving somebody the remote control and giving somebody the title deed. If I give you the title deed to my property, I expect you to figure out you can do about whatever you want to with it. Andre and I got married and lived in a little 2-bedroom apartment. I don't know why, but I thought I'd just take one of the rooms and set up shop. basically look at her funny every time she walked in there. It worked on our marriage for the negative. Best day in our life, best day in our young marriage was when I put another chair in there. I was doing so much stuff and I started showing her how to do it. Started helping her. We did it together. She'd bring a soda in there. We were so poor, we didn't have name brand soda. And with Dr. Thunder and stuff like that, you know. And Mr. Watt. We did it. You do whatever you want. You take this picture up, put this picture down. He says to be at home. He gives an invitation there. The word in our English is kind of a casual, but the word in the original there is a command. There's an invitation. He gives a little bit of an explanation. He says the word of Christ. He says the word of Christ. This is God's word. Over and over it is called. This is the word that magnifies Christ, the word that honors Christ. It is the word of God. James, in James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. What kind of word is this? What does it mean here? He says to do it richly there. Do it richly. James chapter 1 and verse number 21. He says, what does it mean to do this richly? Job says, Job chapter 23 and verse 12 says, I have not departed from the commandment of my lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How do I make it at home? First off, I do it humbly. James chapter 1, verse 21. I am ready to receive it. I'm ready to plant it, dig it down in my life. How did you put God's word in your life this week? Job says, I treasured it. I valued it more than I did food. Most of us will eat a whole lot more and we won't even think about missing a meal. But we'll go days sometimes without putting God's word in our life. It's to be at home. Job says, I esteemed it more than my necessary food. Psalms 119 says, thy word have I treasured. Have I hid in my heart, like hidden treasure, that I might not sin against thee. I'm having a hard time with sinful behaviors and sinful habits and sinful language. I got news for you. You don't have a sin problem as much as you got a word problem. You put God's word in. God's word helps you to not sin. It keeps your heart. And it keeps your heart with all diligence here. And I am to put God's word in. One of the things we're doing a little deal as a family and really trying to memorize more scripture this year. And I'm about 13 or 14 verses I'm trying to memorize and do. And some of them I already knew and I'm relearning some of them. And I'm doing that. Why? Because I need this. I need it planted into my life, James chapter 1. Job chapter 23 there. I need to do this more than I need to eat. Doesn't mean I don't need to eat. I need to do this more than I need to eat. Psalm 119, it's to be a treasure in my life. That words were what found and I ate, and the words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, Jeremiah said. My wife walks in a room. I smile. She walks in a room with a bowl of ice cream. I giggle. She walks in with good news. I'm a happy camper. God's word ought to bring you joy like the presence of your favorite person. Is it at home? He says there's an invitation. There's an explanation. He says the word of Christ would dwell in you richly. He says, with all wisdom. Wisdom means that I am learning it in such a way to apply it. God is showing me. He's demonstrating. And now I can apply it. Somebody does this at work, I can apply it. This happens at home, I can apply it. Around my house, I was pretty sure my parents had a few favorite phrases. Anybody grow up, your parents saying the same jazz over and over? Anybody besides me? One of my expressions, Dad said till he died, even as we were older, grown. And Mom, I think, still says now. I'm pretty sure I caught her saying it to the grandkids over Christmas. It goes like this. Didn't I tell you? Now, in my house, it really doesn't matter what comes after that. Because the only time I ever corrected Mom, I don't really remember what happened after that. And, didn't I tell you? If she said, boy, didn't I tell you, then you just started running. Because there's nothing good going to come after that, right? Anybody ever said anything close to that? Didn't I tell you? Haven't I told you? Anybody said it at work or at home? Anybody ever told you? I'm the only disobedient person in this room. God bless all of you. Didn't I tell you? And, of course, the answer is yes. Even if the answer was no, because you didn't correct Mom. But didn't I tell you? I tell you. My other favorite was, what'd you expect? What'd you expect? What'd you do? Microwave a big ball of tinfoil and blow up the microwave. What'd you expect? How many of you would like to have met me when I was younger? Anybody? And when I was fun. What'd you expect? Wisdom says, I'm learning from the Scripture. He's going to circle back to this. He says there's an invitation, there's an explanation. He gives us an illustration. He gives an illustration. I thought I gave you a note. This is more than head knowledge. It's great if you know all 66 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, etc. It's great that you know the books of the Bible. It's great that you're memorizing verses, but you need to be doing all that so that it gives you wisdom, so that you know how to apply it. It's more than head knowledge. This is life change. This is life change. I know lots of unsaved people who know big chunks of the Bible and lots about the Bible. There's lots of them to teach. There's some of them to teach at the community college and college around here, and they know good portions of the Scripture, but they don't apply it. It has never changed their life. This is wisdom, that it dwells in you and it makes itself at home, and then it changes things. It's one thing you go spend a day or two at somebody's house. It's another thing you stay at somebody's house for a week. But if you go move in and they give you the keys and they say, change the rooms around and paint the walls and move this out and move that out and here's the remote, now you're experiencing change. Most of us want God's word to just stay a little while and then move along. This is wisdom. This is producing life change. He gives us finally an illustration. What's the illustration? Verse 16. You still with me? Say amen. I got 5 minutes. Teaching, admonishing one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He gives us illustration. He says, How do I know? He says, there's teaching. He says, what's teaching? Teaching is I'm learning enough to understand and help others. There's a hand missing there. Learning enough to understand and help others. You can't teach what you don't know. I'm learning. So somebody comes to me when I have this opportunity, I can share. I'm starting to master it a little bit. I can tell them this. I can tell them what's going on here. I can explain this to them. Last year at Easter, a big crowd of us went, and I think it was Easter, maybe Sunday before Easter, and we ended up at a gondolier down here, the little Italian restaurant. We ended up there, and we were finishing up a late service and all, and we're there, and a couple of waitresses come over. Some of you are there, and they came over and they said, "What's the deal? What's the deal with all these church people about Easter? About Easter?" Those of you there nod at me. "Hey, what about Easter?" And I got to preach a couple of waitresses and tell them, and I went back. Actually, I've talked to them since then, and just kind of explained to them what the deal is about Easter and why it was said, and it's about Christ's death and His resurrection and all those kind of things. You do that. You take God's word in so you can give it out to others. You're learning enough to understand to help others. It's not just teachers like Sunday school teachers and what we do on Wednesday night here and other times and our Bible studies that are coming. It is I'm learning to help others. He says admonishing one another. It means I'm applying correctly the Word of God to my life and others. How do I know? How do I know that the Word of God's at home? I can help others. I can help others. And I can apply it. Sometimes when you admonish someone, they're not real happy about it. Everybody with me here? This is what God's Word says. This is not my opinion. This is what God's Word says. American church is overwhelmed by people with opinions. Not what my opinion is, what the Bible says. When we preach about being faithful or something, I don't have to put my opinion there. I can just give you the Bible. When we talk about stewardship, I give you the Bible. We talk about living right and doing what's right. We talk about the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of home and the sanctity of life. I don't have to give you my opinion. I just give you the Bible. Admonishing. By the way, when we're admonished ourselves, then we're reading and it's at home too. Anybody you've been reading or heard a sermon or something and God's word just kind of whapped you upside the head and said, get in line, get straightened back out, your priorities out of whack. It says teaching, admonishing one another. There's a community aspect to this. It says in singing. The work of grace makes its way through my lips. The three categories of songs there. It says psalms. It's the Old Testament psalms. Singing scripture. Hymns. These are the arrangements. This is the doctrinal content of the scriptures. And we try and sing almost every Sunday, at least one hymn, if not a couple. And spiritual songs. These are testimony kind of songs. These are usually typically personal songs, or they're answers to prayer, or they may even be a very sad song. And you talk about how God brought me through this kind of point and all. Some of you listen to radio and stuff, the 10,000 reasons and blessings, those kind of songs like that, you know, where they're just this, they grip your heart and all. They do this singing with grace. God's enabling me that it works out. How do you know? Well, one of the tests is that there is some eruption coming from your lips. Say, I can't sing real well. He doesn't talk about singing real well. He talks about singing because the word is at home in your life. And the tongue is always the tattletale of the heart, James tells us. It's always a tattletale. You might mumble, you might smile, but man, you're having, and there's a worshipful attitude that's there. He says, singing, then just to keep my ings going, he says, they're thanking. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to come back to that next week. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There is an attitude of gratitude that is to be present in the heart of every believer. You have a gratitude problem, I got news for you. You got a word problem. You got a spirit control problem. It is not about my proximity and not about my circumstances. I promise it's about my consecration sometimes. Doesn't mean we don't have bad days and none of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying there's never a time when we're not. Man, I wish things were a little different. But I can be thankful. Because I serve a great big God. I can be thankful because God loves me. I can be thankful because of so many things. What God has done. You go back to Colossians 3, verse 1. Because Christ who has resurrected us, has done these things. Let me offer you these four ideas and I'm done. I'm right on time. Let me offer you these ideas, three ideas. If this is true in your life, if God's word is at home, then your life is going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The word-centered life is a spirit-controlled life. God's word in, God's word at home, God's word in control. It's conforming me to be like Him. It's helping me to live like Him. It's helping me to love what He loves and appreciate who He appreciates. And it is coming out in teaching. It's coming out in admonishing. And I am wanting to order my life by this book. And your life will start being controlled by the Spirit of God. Second, to be filled with the Spirit is the same as the Word of God being at home in your heart. It's at least the same. It can be more than that, but that is the bottom line rung. Spirit is this, and Spirit is that, and Spirit. It is at least this. We got lots of people who know how to perform, and they turn it on for an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday, and they don't live, and they don't have a church problem. They got a word problem. They got a spirit control problem. Say amen if you believe that. MacArthur says, this is a famous little saying of his, the Holy Spirit fills a life controlled word by His word. Fills a life controlled by His word. I want God to control my life. I want Him to have full control of this church. You can say amen anytime you want on some of these things. Amen. I want Vision Day. I want us all on the same page, whatever the Bible says. I want us on the same outlook. I want us the same plan. I want us to go forward. We're going to knock out some of the decorating things, the back wall. We're going to get some of you to take some of this home, help us out. We're going to put it together on a Saturday in February. We're going to get that done. We're going to keep on going. We're going to minister to people. We're going to invite people on campus. We're praying for people to be saved and all. Why? Because that's what the Bible says, and He's in charge, and I want Him to be at home in my life and in this church and in your life, and want to go forward for Him. It says this is a spirit-controlled life. It says your heart and your voice are easier to sing. Praise the Savior. So I just ride down the road, and I got on K-Love, His Love, Your Love. I don't know all the radio stations. Whatever. Song comes on, man, tears in my eyes. I'm just singing along. People think I'm crazy and cuckoo. I'm at the house, radio cranked up, some CD cranked up, and I'm just going, and man, it's amazing, and you're just joining right in there. Your heart, man, that's part of it, and you just can't wait to do that. Some of you, that's a favorite thing you do. You come here, and just for a few minutes, you tune out everything else, and you get to sing with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you get to corporately praise Him. Why? Because the Word is at home in your heart, and you want God to be honored, and that's the way He's wired you, and you're just ready. And you love it, and you love to sing. Sing real soft, or sing real loud, doesn't make you dare. And you're just ready. Part of it. Warren Wiersbe says a successful church, successful Christian involves three things. Attention, three books. God's book, the Bible, the pocketbook, and the hymn book. That last one there, the hymn book. I'm excited. I love to hear music. It ought to be there. It ought to well up in us. Everybody's wired different emotionally. I'm not saying you got to be like everybody else. I'm just simply saying there's something there that I want it out of me. You can whistle, you can hum, you can mumble, you can sing, whatever you want, but there's there. And you say thanks. You got a heart of gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let me help you. Nobody ought to have to beat you up to thank the Lord. Nobody have to guilt you or manipulate you in order to be thankful to the God of heaven. You think about what He spared you from and what He saved you to. You think about what He saved you out of and what He's preparing a home for you even now. Nobody ought to have to gin it up, work it up to be thankful. Say, my job is, and then somebody else is unemployed. I thought about how cold it was and how bad the light bill is going to be. Then I thought about the thousands living on the street during all that stuff. Thought about I had to buy a prescription. It was crazy expensive. Insurance changed. And I thought to myself, praise God, I paid for a prescription. It is not addictive. And how many people just celebrated Christmas missing somebody because of all the things with the opioid crisis. I ain't got to think long horizontally to get real thankful. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being thankful vertically. God has done so much for me that I don't deserve, and it ought to fill my heart and my eyes with gratefulness and gratitude to Him. And the more I put in the Word, the more it ought to just leak out of me how grateful and thankful I am. That means grumbling and griping and complaining and whining and moaning and groaning is wicked and sinful, and it is a sign of a Word deficiency, and it's not at home. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Father and the Lord Jesus. A new year, a biblical you. Would you bow your head with me? Nobody's looking around. We finish out our service and conclude our video portion here. I want to encourage you. I don't know I'm a whole lot on resolutions in the sense we mean them in America, but I really like decisions. And maybe you're here and you're going, you know, I'm not where I want to be with the Word, with the Bible. I'm not reading like I want to. I'm not faithful in my devotion like I want to. I don't have any idea. God's really spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe you've slacked off. Maybe God's put His finger on some things in your life and you've said no to Him. And God's really put His finger on a few areas, whatever that is. God's speaking to you today. He's giving you a great invitation. He's explained it to you. He's illustrated it for you, what it looks like. I've tried to help you with the application. Maybe you're just here and you're just praying for somebody. Maybe you're like me and your heart's just full of thankfulness to God. I invite you this morning. I invite you. You say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart today. God's speaking to my heart today about an area, an issue, whatever it is. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you just slip, thank you. Slip your hand up, thank you. Anybody else? Right up, right back down. Just pray for me this morning. Pray for me. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Put his hand and put his finger on some things. Anybody else? I want to invite you just a moment. These altars are open. This front area is open. You can come, you can pray, whatever you need to do. Somebody pray with you if you want. But I want us to take this, oh Lord, in prayer. The music begins to play. Would